Ever feel like you're just kind of like sleepwalking through life?
Oh,
You
yeah.
know, like grabbing your coffee, commuting to work, just kind of like going through the motions. Well, today we're going to be diving into a concept that suggests maybe we actually are, in a sense. We're going to be talking about the God state. It's kind of like thinking about a hidden superpower or like a heightened level of consciousness just kind of waiting to be unlocked.
Interesting.
So it's fascinating because the source material that we're looking at today, the cosmickey.pdf, it doesn't frame this God state as, you know, some mystical thing that's reserved for like a select few, you know, monks on a mountaintop or whatever. It really lays out like specific techniques and practices, and it's almost like suggesting that it's attainable for anyone who's willing to put in the work, you know?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now and it seems very straightforward.
Right. And this document, it's interesting. It's got entries that span from August 25th to September 27th, 2024. And it also, and this is what's kind of trippy, it also includes a play called Norton Street.
A play?
What?
A play, yeah.
Oh.
We'll explore that a little bit later. But first, let's unpack what we're dealing with here. What exactly does this document mean by the God state?
Well, it describes it as a journey of aligning with your, I guess, your the deepest truth and your highest potential.
Okay.
And it's not like reaching like a peak or, you know, it's a continuous practice, kind of like waking up from this like walking sleep of ordinary consciousness.
Walking sleep. That's kind of freaky, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a very powerful image. It makes you wonder, like, how much are we missing by going through life on autopilot?
Right.
And it does seem to suggest that a lot of people exist in this state where they're kind of disconnected from a greater awareness.
Yeah, and it goes deeper than that. It also explains that, like, even our waking state has levels.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so, like, fully awakening all at once could be really overwhelming.
Wow, I can imagine.
Yeah, so it kind of emphasizes approaching this journey gradually, you know, using these provided practices to kind of like gently nudge ourselves toward those higher levels.
All right, so how do we start? What are some of the techniques for tapping into this God state?
So one technique is the use of a Sanskrit mantra.
Okay.
It's gate, parasamgate bodhisvaha.
Whoa, say that again.
A gate paragate, parasamgate bodhisvaha.
That sounds pretty intense. Like, what is the meaning behind all those words?
So it translates to gone, gone, gone beyond, gone altogether beyond. Oh, what an awakening, all hail. It's a phrase from the Heart Sutra, which is a central text in Mahayana Buddhism.
Huh.
And the document actually gives you detailed instructions on how to use this mantra,
Okay.
involving like visualization, breath work, meditating on like the meaning of each word.
I can see how engaging with it on multiple levels could be really powerful.
Yet the point is, you're not just repeating sounds, you're actively visualizing yourself moving beyond distractions, transcending the ego, and like ultimately reaching this state of pure awareness.
So it's like a vehicle for shifting your consciousness.
Exactly.
So, okay, let's say we're starting to experience this God state.
Okay.
What are some of the benefits that the document highlights?
Well, it mentions a range of potential benefits, you know, things like enhanced emotional regulation, reduced stress, you know, increased creativity, and a greater sense of purpose. There's even a section called What Good Does the Waking State Do for the Average Individual?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, kind of emphasizing that it's got like practical implications.
Yeah, that's interesting that they specifically address like the average individual. So this isn't just like some kind of lofty, you know, spiritual concept. This has some like tangible benefits for, you know, like everyday life, right?
Absolutely. For example, the document explains that by tapping into this state, we become less reactive to external triggers.
Oh, but
So, like, instead of getting swept away by anger or frustration, we can kind of observe our emotions without judgment.
that's a good thing to be able to have that distance.
Which allows us to respond with more, you know, clarity and compassion.
That's a compelling idea. I'm curious to learn more about how this shift in perspective impacts other areas of life. Like, could we delve deeper into some specific examples?
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Let's consider like problem solving, for instance.
Okay.
So the document suggests that accessing the God state allows you to tap into this like wellspring of creativity and intuition. So instead of seeing challenges as like roadblocks, you can approach them with this, you know, fresh perspective, potentially uncovering solutions that you hadn't considered before.
So it's not about magically erasing problems.
Right?
It's about changing how we perceive them and approach them. Okay, so what about relationships? How does the God state influence how we interact with other people?
Well, one of the key benefits mentioned is increased empathy and compassion.
Okay.
So by accessing this higher state of awareness, you begin to see beyond just like surface level behaviors and actually connect with people on a deeper, more understanding level.
So you start to recognize that like shared humanity beneath all the surface differences.
Exactly.
That could be incredibly valuable for just navigating the complexities of relationships in general.
Yeah, imagine like a disagreement with a loved one.
Okay.
The God state kind of encourages you to listen deeply. You know, seeing beyond that immediate anger or frustration, connecting with their underlying needs and emotions.
Yeah, instead of reacting defensively, you can respond with, you know, understanding and compassion.
Exactly.
Okay, this is all starting to sound incredibly appealing, but I have a feeling there might be some, you know, potential downsides or challenges associated with this whole God state thing. What do you think?
Oh, you're right. To be cautious, the document does address potential pitfalls.
Okay, good.
One of those is the risk of feeling overwhelmed.
Okay.
Or even getting stuck in this heightened state.
Stuck? That sounds a little freaky.
Yeah.
What does it say about navigating those kinds of experiences?
It emphasizes the importance of what they call grounding techniques.
Okay.
To bring yourself back to a sense of stability after these intense experiences.
Okay.
So these can include things like focusing on sensory details, you know, feeling the ground beneath your feet, the texture of objects, or using affirmations.
Okay, so if you start feeling a little too out there, you need some tools to pull yourself back down to earth.
Right, exactly. It's like having an anchor when you're exploring uncharted waters.
I like that analogy.
And it also highlights another potential pitfall. They call this one the ego trap.
Okay.
So this is where the ego tries to hijack the waking state, leading to feelings of superiority.
Oh, wow.
Or judgment toward others who haven't awakened in the same way.
That is a crucial point, it seems like. Achieving this God state requires a very delicate balance, you know?
Yes.
Pushing your boundaries while remaining grounded and avoiding the pitfalls of that ego inflation.
You've hit the nail on the head.
Okay, good.
It's not about achieving this static state of enlightenment. It's about engaging in this like ongoing process
right.
of self-awareness, recognizing our limitations, and continuously striving for that balance.
That's a powerful message. It
yeah.
seems like navigating the God state is a journey that demands both, you know, courage and humility.
Absolutely. And speaking of journeys, we were talking about this play, Norton Street.
Right. Yes.
Maybe it's time we delved into that, like, intriguing aspect of the document.
Yes. Let's explore Norton Street and see how it connects to everything we've been discussing.
Okay.
But before we do, let's take a moment to kind of, like, absorb everything we've learned so far.
Sounds good. So we've been exploring this concept of the God state. You know, like the potential benefits and the challenges of navigating this whole thing and doing it with caution and, you know, a bit of humility.
Right.
So as promised, let's kind of delve into this this play.
Yeah, Norton Street.
Yeah, Norton Street. This curious inclusion of this play in the document.
It's been kind of intriguing me since you first mentioned it. It's not every day that you find a play just, you know, tucked inside a document about achieving a higher state of consciousness.
Right.
So how does Norton Street connect to this whole journey of, you know, trying to reach this God state?
Well, the document suggests that it's not just, you know, for entertainment.
Okay.
It's more like an interactive tool, you know,
okay,
to explore these paradoxes and complexities of the God state.
So it's not just like a passive reading experience. It's like an active engagement with the themes that we've been talking about.
Precisely. Think of it as like a creative portal.
Okay.
Into the God state.
Right.
The document suggests that, like, by immersing ourselves in this play's world, you know,
okay,
reading the lines out loud, visualizing the scenes, even acting them out.
Whoa.
We can actually trigger shifts in our own consciousness.
That sounds both really intriguing and a little intimidating at the same time. So can you give us a sense of, like, the play's world? What kind of story does Norton Street actually tell?
So it takes place in this kind of nondescript room.
Okay.
On Norton Street, obviously.
Right.
With just four characters. Bornless, Mike, Crystal, and Audrey.
Okay.
The dialogue, it's full of repetition, lots of existential questioning.
No, interesting.
Themes of time as an illusion, like the fluidity of reality,
yeah.
That, you know, feeling of connection and isolation.
That definitely resonates with what we've been discussing about the God state, right?
Right.
The whole questioning our perceptions of reality, connecting with that deeper sense of self. grappling with those paradoxical natures of existence.
Absolutely. It seems to like dramatize those abstract concepts, you know.
Okay.
Giving them form and a voice.
Yeah, yeah.
For instance, one character, Bornless, he repeatedly states, it's always the same day.
It's always the same day.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which kind of speaks to that idea of time being an illusion, a concept often explored in relation to the God state, right? Mm.
Yeah, that line is both so simple and so profoundly unsettling at the same time. You know, it makes you kind of question the very fabric of reality.
Uh-huh.
So are there other lines or scenes that particularly stand out to you in relation to this God state?
Yeah, another one that struck me was when a character says, I haven't been paying much attention to time. So it suggests a detachment from the constraints of linear time, kind of like being present in this expanded awareness.
So it's almost as if the characters are already inhabiting that God state in a way.
Right.
But they're also grappling with its implications, trying to make sense of this reality that kind of defies conventional understanding.
That's a very perceptive observation.
Thanks.
And the document suggests that by like speaking these lines out loud, by embodying the character's experiences, we can kind of tap into that same sense of wonder and disorientation, which allows us to question our own assumptions about reality.
It's like using the play as a mirror to reflect on our own relationship with, you know, time and reality and consciousness.
Yeah, Norton Street acts as this catalyst for introspection.
Yeah.
You know, prompting us to question those habitual ways of seeing the world.
It sounds like a powerful tool for self-discovery, but also a potentially, you know, intense experience.
Right.
So are there any guidelines in the document for like approaching the play safely?
That's a great question. And yes, it does.
Okay.
It offers suggestions for engaging with it in a way that's both enriching and safe.
Okay.
It recommends starting with short readings, focusing on, you know, a few lines or scenes at a time.
Uh-huh.
And gradually increase the intensity of your engagement as you feel more comfortable.
So pacing yourself,
easing
into the experience rather than just like diving headfirst into the deep end.
Yeah, exactly. And it emphasizes the importance of having a grounding practice in place.
Okay.
You know, to help you process the experience and return to a sense of stability afterwards.
Right, because you might need it.
Right. And it even includes specific grounding techniques tailored to the play's themes and potential effects.
That makes me feel a little bit more at ease about, you know, exploring Norton Street. It's reassuring to know that there are like safeguards in place, especially when you're dealing with something that could potentially shift your perception of reality.
The document seems to prioritize that balanced approach.
Yeah.
Encouraging exploration, but acknowledging that need for grounding and integration.
Right. So speaking of integration, we've talked about the benefits and challenges of this God state. Mm-hmm. We've, you know, kind of poked around this play, Norton Street.
Yeah.
So now let's shift our focus to the practical side.
Yeah.
How do we integrate these principles of the God state into our, you know, daily lives?
Right. That's where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's not just about floating around in this, you know, perpetual state of bliss.
Right.
It's about finding that higher awareness amidst, you know, all the everyday hustle and bustle.
Exactly. So how do we maintain that sense of, you know, being awake while we're, you know, juggling emails, deadlines, all those demands of modern life?
The document offers some valuable insights into that very question.
Okay, good.
It emphasizes that the God state isn't separate from our, you know, daily lives. It's woven into every moment.
Okay.
It's about shifting our perspective on everyday experiences.
But give me some concrete examples. How does the God state change, you know, like how I approach a stressful work situation?
So imagine you're facing, you know, this challenging project at work.
Okay, yeah.
Instead of feeling overwhelmed and letting that stress consume you, the God state kind of encourages you to see this challenge not as an obstacle, but as an opportunity for growth.
Okay, so it's about changing our relationship to those like difficult moments.
Yes.
Seeing them through a different lens.
Exactly. Okay. And the document suggests that by accessing the God state, we can tap into that wellspring of creativity and intuition, enabling us to find solutions that we might not have considered before.
So again, it's not about magically erasing problems.
Right.
It's about shifting our perception and opening ourselves up to new possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what about relationships? How does the God state kind of like influence our interactions with others?
Well, you know, one of the key benefits mentioned is increased empathy and compassion.
Okay.
So by tapping into the God state, we can see beyond, you know, just the surface level of people's behavior.
Right.
And we can connect with their underlying needs and emotions.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's about recognizing that shared humanity beneath the surface differences, which can be really helpful when you're navigating, you know, difficult conversations or conflicts.
Exactly. Imagine like a disagreement with a loved one.
Okay.
The God state encourages us to listen deeply, seeing beyond that immediate anger or frustration,
mm-hmm.
and connecting with their underlying needs and emotions.
Right. So instead of reacting defensively,
right,
you can respond with more understanding and compassion.
Exactly.
Okay. This all sounds incredibly beneficial, but let's be real. Staying in this, you know, heightened state of awareness all the time.
Yeah.
That seems like a very tall order, especially with all the distractions of, you know, modern life.
You're absolutely right. The document does acknowledge that maintaining this state consistently, yeah, it's a challenge even for those who are like deeply committed to the practice.
Okay.
And it emphasizes that there will be times when we fall out of alignment, which is perfectly normal.
Okay. That makes me feel better.
Right.
So it's not about being perfect. It's about recognizing when we've kind of drifted.
Yes.
And having those tools to bring ourselves back.
Exactly. The document even offers a specific technique called the awareness reset practice.
Cool.
For those moments when we kind of catch ourselves slipping back into, you know, autopilot or negative thought patterns.
Awareness reset practice. Mm-hmm. So tell me more about this. How does that work?
It's a pretty simple four-step process.
All right.
First, you pause whatever you're doing.
Then you take a conscious breath, kind of bringing your attention to the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
Next, you engage your senses. You know, notice the things that you can see, hear, feel.
Okay.
And finally, you repeat a grounding phrase.
Okay.
To kind of anchor yourself back into the God state.
It's like hitting the reset button on your mind.
Yeah.
Bringing yourself back to center.
Exactly. It's a quick and effective way to recalibrate your energy and reconnect with that sense of awareness.
This is all starting to feel very practical and applicable. You know,
yeah,
it's not just about these lofty, you know, spiritual concepts. It's about tangible tools that we can use for, you know, navigating daily life.
That's a great observation. And the document goes even further, offering like specific practices and guidance.
Okay.
For integrating the God state into different areas of life, work, relationships, creativity.
Yeah.
Even personal growth.
It's like a comprehensive guidebook,
yeah,
for living a more conscious and, you know, fulfilling life.
Exactly. And it encourages us to approach this journey not just as a personal pursuit, but as a way to contribute to a more compassionate and interconnected world.
That's a beautiful vision.
Yeah.
It seems like this God state isn't just about, you know, individual transformation. It's about creating that ripple effect of positive change in the world around us.
Absolutely.
But I have to admit, I can already anticipate some of the ways that I might stumble along this path, you know.
Oh, yeah, you're not alone in that.
Okay, good.
The document acknowledges that there are common pitfalls,
yeah,
you know, that we might encounter along the way.
Okay.
And it offers guidance on how to navigate them.
So can you give me an example? What's like one way that I might totally derail my efforts to, you know, reach this God state?
So one common pitfall is the tendency to get caught up in distractions.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in today's, you know, hyper-connected world.
Right. So many distractions.
Yeah. It's easy to get sucked into that constant stream of news, social media, emails,
yeah,
all these things that pull us away from the present moment and that stillness that's needed to connect with the God state.
Oh, yeah. I can definitely relate to that. My phone is practically an extension of my hand sometimes.
The document actually suggests setting boundaries around technology use.
Oh, okay.
Creating intentional space for stillness and reconnection throughout the day.
Okay.
It also emphasizes the importance of nature.
Okay.
As a powerful tool for grounding,
yeah,
and accessing the God state.
So no more scrolling through social media while I'm pretending to meditate, huh?
Well, maybe not as a primary meditation practice.
Okay.
But the idea is to be mindful of how we're spending our time and energy.
Right, right.
It's about choosing activities and environments that actually support that connection, okay, to the God state.
So it's about creating a life that supports our journey rather than, you know, hindering it.
Exactly. And another potential pitfall is the trap of perfectionism.
Oh, interesting.
It's easy to get so focused on, you know, achieving this constant state of God consciousness,
yeah,
that it becomes another source of stress and pressure.
Yeah, I can see that happening.
Right.
It's like turning the pursuit of enlightenment into another item on your to-do list.
Exactly. The document emphasizes that, you know, achieving and maintaining the God state is a journey, not a destination.
Okay.
There will be times when we feel connected and times when we drift away.
Right.
It's about accepting that natural ebb and flow
okay.
of this process and practicing self-compassion.
So it's not about beating ourselves up when we inevitably stumble,
right.
but about recognizing those moments as opportunities to learn and adjust
exactly.
and return to the path with, you know, renewed purpose.
You've captured the essence of it.
Okay, good.
The document encourages us to approach this journey with a spirit of curiosity, you know?
Yeah.
Openness and a willingness to learn from our experiences.
This has been an incredibly insightful, you know, exploration of the God state and
yeah.
all the, you know, practical steps that we can take to kind of integrate these principles into our lives.
And remember, this document is just one perspective on this, like, vast and complex subject.
Right.
It's an invitation to continue exploring, questioning, and discovering our own, you know, unique path to the God state.
Well said. As we continue to, you know, kind of learn and grow, there's one more aspect of this Cosmic Key document that I kind of want to explore a little further.
Okay.
The potential dangers and pitfalls associated with the God state.
That's an important aspect that we shouldn't overlook.
Yeah.
The document does address these potential dangers,
yeah.
offering some, you know, cautionary advice and guidance on how to navigate them safely.
So before we dive into that conversation, let's take a brief pause.
Sounds good.
Gather our thoughts and prepare for the final leg of our deep dive into this whole God state thing. All right, so welcome back to our deep dive into this whole God state thing. We've, you know, covered a lot of ground here.
Yeah, we.
From the potential benefits and the challenges, you know, to these practical techniques for integrating these principles into our lives.
Mm.
We even explored that trippy play, Norton Street.
It's a wild one.
Yeah, so, but there's one aspect of this Cosmic Key document
right.
that we haven't fully addressed yet. You know, it mentions potential dangers
mm-hmm.
associated with the God state. It even warns against certain practices without, you know, proper guidance, which is a little unsettling, I gotta admit.
Yeah, it is.
So what kind of dangers are we talking about here?
Well, you're right to raise that concern.
Okay, good.
The document does emphasize the importance of approaching the God state with caution and respect.
Okay.
It warns against rushing the process or like attempting those more advanced techniques without proper preparation or guidance.
Okay, so can you give us some specific examples of these potential dangers? Like what could actually go wrong if we're not careful?
One danger mentioned is the risk of what they call psychic inflation.
Okay.
This is when someone experiences like a temporary expansion of consciousness.
Okay.
But then they misinterpret it as this like permanent state of enlightenment.
So they basically think they've made it. Right.
Right, exactly.
And they've just, you know, kind of had a little taste.
Yeah, it might start feeling superior to others, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Dismissing conventional wisdom.
Right.
And even engaging in some pretty reckless behavior because they think they're beyond the reach of consequences.
Oh, wow. That sounds a little bit like the ego trap that we discussed earlier, but like taken to an extreme.
Yeah, it's like mistaking a glimpse of the summit for having conquered the whole mountain.
That's a good analogy.
So the document stresses the importance of humility, right?
Mm-hmm.
And recognizing that, you know, the journey to the God state is ongoing.
Right. It's not about reaching that fixed endpoint.
Exactly.
It's about continuous growth, self-awareness.
Exactly.
So how do we differentiate between, you know, like genuine spiritual insights and just ego-driven delusions? Are there any warning signs that we should be looking out for?
The document suggests paying attention to our motivations, you know.
Oh, okay.
Like, are we seeking a genuine connection with something greater, you know, higher power? Or are we just chasing, like, ego gratification?
Right.
Special powers.
Right.
Or just a sense of, you know, superiority.
Yeah.
It also emphasizes the importance of, you know, those grounding practices.
Okay.
Staying connected to our physical bodies.
Uh-huh.
Maintaining healthy relationships with others.
So basically staying grounded and connected to our human experience
yeah.
is essential for navigating this journey safely.
It is.
Okay, so what about those advanced techniques the document mentions?
Right.
Are those inherently dangerous?
The document doesn't really label them as inherently dangerous, but it strongly advises against attempting them without, you know, proper guidance
no.
from a teacher or a mentor or someone experienced.
Yeah.
Because some of these practices, you know, they involve manipulating these subtle energies.
Okay.
Or exploring altered states of consciousness.
Right, which can get a little freaky.
Yeah, exactly. And they can be disorienting.
Uh-huh.
Or even, you know, harmful if not approached with the right preparation and support.
It makes sense that exploring these, like, you know, more advanced realms would require guidance
Yeah.
and some safeguards in place. It's like having an experienced guide when you're venturing into, you know, unfamiliar territory.
Exactly.
Okay, so are there any other potential, you know, pitfalls or dangers that we should be aware of?
The document also mentions the risk of encountering negative entities or energies, particularly when exploring those altered states of consciousness.
Okay, that sounds like something I definitely want to avoid.
Yeah.
So what does the document recommend for, like, protecting ourselves from those kinds of negative influences?
Well, it emphasizes the importance of cultivating a strong spiritual practice.
Okay.
You know, that includes grounding, energetic cleansing,
mm-hmm.
and setting, like, clear intentions
okay.
before engaging in any practices that might, you know, open us up to those subtle realms.
Okay.
It also suggests working with protective symbols or visualizations
mm-hmm.
and seeking guidance from, you know, experienced practitioners who can offer support and protection.
So it seems like the key takeaway here is, you know, proceed with caution.
Yes.
Respect the power of these practices and seek guidance when we're venturing into, you know, uncharted territory.
Absolutely. The document really encourages us to approach the God state with a sense of reverence and responsibility, recognizing that it's not just about, you know, personal gain.
Yeah.
It's about aligning with a higher purpose and contributing to the well-being of all.
That's a powerful reminder. You know, it's not just about what we can gain from the God state, but about how we can use that, you know, expanded awareness to make a positive impact on the world around us.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that we're all interconnected
and
that our actions and thoughts and intentions have ripple effects, you know, beyond ourselves.
This deep dive into this whole God state thing has been incredibly insightful and thought-provoking and at times a little, you know, mind-bending.
It has been quite a journey.
It has. So we've, you know, covered a lot of ground, from the benefits, the challenges, to the practical techniques, and even these potential dangers.
Yeah, it's been an exploration.
It has.
And I hope our listeners feel, you know, a little bit more equipped with a deeper understanding of this whole thing.
Yeah, it's a complex and fascinating subject.
It is.
So as we wrap up this episode, is there anything else from the document that you'd like to highlight or any final thoughts that you want to share with our listeners?
You know, one thing that really keeps resonating with me is the emphasis on the importance of living a life of, you know, purpose and meaning.
Okay.
It suggests that the God state isn't just about attaining a certain level of consciousness. It's about using that awareness to actually make a difference.
It's not just about personal transformation. It's about channeling that transformation into actions that, you know, benefit others.
Exactly. It's about recognizing our interconnectedness and contributing to the well-being of, you know, all beings.
That's a beautiful message, and I think it's a perfect note to end on. So to our listeners out there, I encourage you to continue exploring these concepts.
Yes.
Question your assumptions and, you know, discover your own unique path to this God state.
And remember, the journey itself is just as important as the destination.
Right.
Embrace the process, stay curious, and never stop seeking.
Well, on that note, we've reached the end of our deep dive into the God state. We hope this exploration has kind of, you know, sparked your curiosity and inspired you to embark on your own journey of self-discovery. And until next time, keep those minds wide open.